You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, time to bring in right now a great friend of the show and someone who knows this team very, very well. She covers the Browns for Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. We're having so much fun with this coach search, which I know you're doing. I say that very much in a sarcastic way, if you can't tell. But where are we on this thing, Mary Kay? Where do you see this thing going? My information is nothing this week will probably happen, but what do you understand as to the process?
Well, you know, now I think part of it is waiting for some of these assistants to become available before they can really make any more moves on them. We know that Adam Gase has already said that he doesn't want to interview until he's out of the playoffs. That's the Denver Broncos offensive coordinator. And, of course, I'm sure that Peyton Manning has put in a good word on Gase with Jimmy Haslam. So there's that little bit of a connection there. And then Josh McDaniels, they can't circle back with Josh again until in the event that they make the Super Bowl, they can talk to him in the week leading up to the Super Bowl. That would be the next time they could talk to him if he gets that far. Other than that, those two guys will be free agents, so to speak, to talk to the Browns after they get out of the playoffs. So those are two guys that they're waiting on. They're going to talk to James Franklin. Apparently, you know, sometime soon, I would gather, if he agrees to do that interview. And then one of the ones I'm kind of waiting to see is, you know, Gus Malzahn. Are they going to reach out to Gus after he plays in this game tonight? Nobody wants anything to come out about this before the game. I know everyone's being very, very tight-lipped about it. But, you know, we'll see, you know, what happens after that.
Mary Kay, what's your sense of the McDaniels situation? We've heard Adam Schefter talk a little bit about it earlier today. Do you have anybody as a favorite right now in this coaching search?
You know what? I'm thinking that, you know, that they were pretty high on Josh McDaniels heading into this coaching search. I mean, we've seen all the quotes from Mike Lombardi about how he felt about Josh, how high he would be on his list if he ever got to hire a coach. I know that Joe Banner has had his eye on Josh McDaniels even when he was in Philadelphia. He was somebody that he admired. You know, we've heard reports that they really like Gase too. But I've heard from a couple of people, and I don't know if this is true or not, that he, you know, kind of, you know, looked at this situation and saw, you know, that Rob only lasted a year and was a little bit leery about it. You know, I think he's talked to a few people that, you know, have given him a few things to think about in regards to this job. Does that mean, you know, that he won't jump in there and interview and be all gung-ho about it? No, I don't know that for sure. But I have heard that, you know, there might be a little bit of hesitation on his part, at least heading into it, which is probably why he just set it aside, put it on the back burner until they get out of the playoffs. I like the fact that they're looking at some college coaches. I think, you know what, as we all know, the game is changing. I would be very intrigued by Gus Malzahn. I mean, these guys, you know how to run that up-tempo offense that we are seeing in the NFL. And look at the success that Chip Kelly has had. So I would have no problem with them bringing in a college coach, even one that necessarily hasn't been wildly successful. I mean, in terms of a big college program, I even think James Franklin is an intriguing candidate. Now, does that mean that he has the experience at a big major college program over a period of many years? No, but if you find the right guy that you think can lead the team, I think that's what's most important.
Well, I think, and it would apply to all the candidates, but I think particularly these college names, if one of them were to come here, I think the big attraction is going to be the opportunity to work with a young quarterback, to work with a rookie quarterback coming in that we presume the Browns will draft, and then coach and quarterback, which is really the ideal scenario. They're joined at the hip right from the very beginning.
Yes, and you have to do that. I mean, you know what? I just don't want to hear anything else about anything else with the number, with their first pick in the draft. It's just, it's not worth it. If you're going to take a flyer on a position, even if you're not 100% certain, you know, even if you have your hesitations about a guy and you're going to, there's not going to be, I don't think there's an Andrew Luck in this draft that everybody can just agree on and say he's going to be wildly successful. Even if you have some reservations about a guy, I still think that you have to take a quarterback high. There's enough good quarterbacks in this draft that you should be able to find one that can take you to the playoffs. You should be able to find one in this group. You know, that's from what I'm hearing, there are enough good ones. And we'll hear, you know, we'll find out how these pro evaluators feel about these guys over the coming months. I mean, there will be dark horses that'll come out of nowhere. But there's one in this bunch, and one that I think that they should be able to get at number four.
I certainly hope so. Another name that would be intriguing, obviously, if they aren't able to land a quarterback early, if the guys that they've decided they want go before them. I thought Sammy Watkins put on a heck of a show in his bowl game and would look pretty darn good opposite Josh Gordon and make just about any quarterback good. Because to me, when you looked at what Josh McCown did in Chicago, good offensive system, and what did he have? He had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. When you have the two dominant receivers like that, I think Brian Hoyer could be a good quarterback in this offense.
Well, that is very true. And, you know, I've been a big proponent of, in today's NFL, getting those kind of guys. And, you know, you really have to hand it to Tom Hecker for finding Josh Gordon and for taking the risk on him with that supplemental pick, because you need that guy. And that's why, and I still get so much grief for this, in the Trent Richardson year, I was advocating Justin Blackmon over Trent Richardson because, in my mind, you take a receiver in today's NFL over a running back with the number four pick in the draft. Now, I didn't know at the time, of course, and I checked into it, but I didn't know at the time that he had enough of a whatever problem it is that he was going to get suspended for an entire year. I talked to his offensive coordinator. You know, he had said he thought that the DUI he had in college was an isolated incident. The point is, you do need to have those guys. If you look at the teams that that are successful, you have those big name guys making big time plays for their quarterbacks. But I still think that you have to get the quarterback. And I think, you know what, look, two games or three starts is not enough of a sample size to say that, you know, this can be your franchise quarterback. If it works out that way, great. But after two games, you know, we would have thought, and I still think that Jason Campbell is a really, really good quarterback. But, you know, look what happened to him after a couple of games, which I think a lot of that had to do with extenuating circumstances, including no weapons on this offense, probably first and foremost.
Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and a Cleveland Plain Dealer, I'll say that right, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What's different about this coaching search versus the last one with regard to how much we're hearing? It seemed to me that I remember that infamous weekend where Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner were staked out in Arizona at the Arizona Biltmore, and Chip Kelly was there conducting his interviews with the Browns, the Eagles, I guess anyone else who wanted to talk with him. But it just seemed to me that we got a blow-by-blow account of almost everything, I think right down to what they were eating and how much did he leave on the plate. I mean, it was that kind of intricate detail that was tweeted about throughout. We're not getting that with this coaching search at all. The details seem to be very limited other than, yeah, we talked or whatever. And I say we, you, the confirmations are coming from the individuals. The team has said nothing, and I don't know that they really said anything last year. But it just seemed like, Mary Kay, a lot of people, including yourself, others who were tweeting a year ago, had a lot more detail than we have right now.
Well, you know what? So much of these coaching searches, it comes down to what the agents are willing to tell certain people. And the way that things work now in the media with the agents is, you know, generally they just pick out their four or so national guys that they feel like they want to get their word out to. And, you know, back in the day, Vic, you know, when you were a beat writer for a newspaper, and back in the day, you know, when I, you know, in my previous, you know, in the previous, whatever, 20 years right, before this past 5 years, you know, we had good relationships, really good relationships with a lot of people in the NFL. Well, now it's to the point where, you know, they feel like, okay, well, you know, they just need to tell something to Adam Schefter or Jason LaCanfora and they're good to go. So it all depends on if those guys are telling their people what's going on with their coaching searches. And you've got some agents that are willing to tell all. You've got some agents that are keeping it really close to the vest. But for the most part, that's where a lot of the stuff comes from. Now, occasionally, you will have the teams that are willing to leak stuff. And, you know, so it just all depends on the situation. In some cases, you've got the teams that are willing to confirm interviews and be very upfront about their searches. The Eagles were pretty upfront last year. The Cardinals were pretty upfront last year. When I look at that, I think, hey, you know, those teams went 10-6, you know, and the Eagles made the playoffs. So being a little bit upfront about the process might not be such a bad thing. I think it also eliminates a lot of the false reports if you're willing to be a little bit more upfront. I mean, look, I've had to shoot down a Jim Tressel rumor this week. Yep. I had to shoot down a Bob Stoops report this week, and the Bob Stoops report came from NFL Network. So, yep. and you know, Ian Rappaport was pretty certain he was one of the front runners, and that to expect an interview this week with Bob Stoops. And, you know, we come to find out, you know, that's not true. So there's a lot of misinformation. I've been saying it's a jungle out here. It is so hard. And I've decided that I know what hell is. Hell is one perpetual coaching search.
It yes, certainly is. I mean, I get the feeling that we're going to know
Groundhog Day.
When we're going to know. It's kind of one of those things that this is one thing I will be say that I'm very impressed with is that is like it's Fort Knox. There are no leaks there. We will find out, I believe, when we all find out what the Browns are going to do and who their head coach is going to be. But I know it is a top priority to get this right.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about that. And I think, Mary Kay, you summed that up very well from how this is being handled from a media standpoint, because the details are lacking. And just for the record, a year ago, Ian Rappaport had a tweet, a report that the Browns were on the verge of closing a deal with Chip Kelly. So we kind of saw where that went. And that's not a shot at him. It's just keeping with this tough back and forth. Mary Kay, thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks,
right.
Mary Kay.
She is Mary Kay Cabot, covers the Browns for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. We've got much more coming up at the top of the hour. Going to hear from the Seattle Times, a writer from that newspaper who is going to break down for us, Bob Candotta, some background on the coordinator for that team named Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, whom the Browns interviewed last week. So we'll hear from him and hear what he has to say about Quinn, what might make him a good coaching candidate for the Browns. All that ahead on CBD.